We often talk about education being the building blocks for the rest of your life. But there are concerns, first of all, around the attainment gap for blind and partially sighted people against their sighted peers. But if we were to look further along the education track, moving into higher education, there are some concerns around the Disabled Students Allowance. Lord Chris Holmes has presented a report on what should be an extremely helpful and extremely valuable system, but things are not as good as they should be. Lord Holmes joins me now. Thank you very much for joining us, Chris.
Great to be with you.
DSA is there to provide assistance to students with disabilities. It's a great financial package. It can help with things like equipment or support workers and so on. So it should be something which, you know, we should be holding up as an exemplar system.
And when it works well, it works really well. In many ways, it's the envy of other nations. Far too few disabled students knew about DSA before they started their course. Far too few disabled students are currently enabled to take advantage of all of the benefits of DSA. So of all the disabled students who self-identify as disabled in higher education, only 29% of them currently are in receipt of DSA.
That's quite a shocking figure. What were the problems with the system? Was it its administration, its governments, or how it kind of makes changes to its policy?
So the report is structured through pre-application to application to assessment to on-course and indeed post-graduation. And there were things that can be improved at every beat point of that journey. The report has 20 recommendations ranging from the need for information, advice and guidance even before the student is in the application phase, difficulties around application. In terms of the assessment process, a number of recommendations there. But as I say, 20 recommendations, all incredibly doable. I wanted to make sure they were practical, achievable, realistic for the Department for Education, for the Student Loans Company, who are the operational part of the delivery of DSA, and for higher education providers that must be undertaken, because if they are, they should, must, and will enable far more blind and visually impaired students to get the support that they need in higher education, and through that have the opportunity to pursue whatever career they so choose post that. Because as you rightly say, Alan, this is a great enabler, and through that an empowerer of all of that fantastic talent in our young blind and visually impaired students. And it can't be that for ones of enabling the scheme, the DSA, to work optimally, it can't be that talent isn't supported and enabled to thrive in higher education. And as you rightly say, brilliant building blocks for the career, for the life that one would want to have post higher education.
There seemed to be a real discrepancy in the service that students were receiving. You know, some said it was a great service, you know, it's worked well for them. Others were saying, you know, they were still trying to get support when their courses had started. Some saying that, you know, their hearts sank almost if they felt they had to speak to someone at the DSA administrators as well. So, you know, some people are having a good experience, some not so good. But, you know, vital that the support is there in place and what people need, say, even before they start their courses.
We heard from students who tried to start their course, but the support wasn't there. So they then had to defer. They didn't want to defer. They had to defer. And through doing that, they incurred course fees on top of the obviously psychological and practical difficulties of having to defer. We heard of people who got their support months, sometimes years after it was required.
There are, as you say, recommendations for this. One which kind of stood out for me, which I thought, you know, that this is great, not just for higher education, but almost an education passport for, you know, pupils, students with sight loss that would follow them through their educational life. And, you know, that would give immediate information about the individual, their needs. That seems to be something which we should absolutely have straight away. You know, fundamentally, that should be there.
The passport would make complete sense for the blind or visually impaired young person. It would make sense from a policy perspective, because what I'm proposing is that those individuals could have their needs, whatever credentials one chose to have in that passport system, completely in control of that young person at every stage of their school, higher education and work journey. You wouldn't have this issue of different terminology in schools than in higher education, for example. You wouldn't have something which is more of a medical model in one context going more into a social model in another context. It needs to be predicated on the social model. It needs to be predicated on inclusive by design. So if, for example, information about a young person is known by the Department of Health, for example, if that information is needing to be known by Student Loans Company to enable part of the DSA process, it shouldn't be this disconnect. It shouldn't be that that falls on the student to make that connection. It certainly shouldn't be that it falls onto the student to pay again to go and get that information, say, for example, from their GP, to then send it off to the SLC. Government needs to work for the citizen, in this case, the blind, partially sighted, the disabled young person, student. The state needs to work in a seamless, connected way for that person. It makes sense for the individual, so you don't get these points where you move from school to higher education and it can potentially be a crisis point for want of that connection. But it works from a policy perspective as well. It works from a cost perspective. It works for our wider social and economic context. So that's the purpose of the passport. A very simple, digitally enabled, in the hands of the blind and visually impaired young person and student. They have control of that data, of the information which is on there.
It would definitely be a win if that passport, you know, went from education into employment as well. You know, it could go even further. The report has been completed. How do you make sure that doesn't just end up on a shelf? How do you look to push this further?
You make a really good point, Alan. It's all well and good to do these reports. I was delighted to do it. And again, so grateful to everybody who participated, particularly the blind and visually impaired and disabled students, particularly that they gave of their time and their testimony, because what needs to happen now is for the government to consider the report, government responding and setting out how they intend to take the recommendations that are in the report, put them into practice for the benefit of all disabled students. And I've presented the report to ministers. They're considering it as we speak. And I say to everybody listening, I'm certainly not letting it just go dusty on a shelf. We have to make these changes. We have to make the difference. We have to make the procurement. I mean, procurement, it seems such a dull topic. Procurement can be fabulous and fantastic. We should celebrate procurement, because when it works well, it can drive inclusion. It can drive opportunity. As we used the procurement when I was at London 2012, we didn't just use the procurement process to get stuff. We used it to drive sustainability in the supply chain. We used it crucially to drive inclusion. The SLC, Students Loan Company, can very much do that with the DSA procurement to drive the difference, to transform the system So we see not just 29% of disabled students benefiting from DSA, as is the case currently, but we see an extraordinarily increased percentage of students. This gem of a policy, when it works well, it works. We enable it to work for everybody, every single blind and partially sighted and disabled student who has the right to benefit from it, gets the opportunity to benefit from it.
Well, we certainly look forward to seeing some more positive steps forward. But for the moment, Lord Holmes, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much indeed. If anybody wants to read the report in full, it's at lordchrisholmes.com. I'd welcome you looking at it. I'd really welcome any comments, any feedback, any suggestions. It's been an absolute pleasure to be with you. I look forward to coming back and talking when we have the response from government. Thank you very much indeed.